Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the evil spirits, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We are moving quickly through the first chapter of Mark. So much has gone on already. Last week, he called his first disciples, and now it's time for the first miracle. So Jesus has just called these initial disciples. They're following him along to Capernaum, and it looks like any ordinary Sunday. It was not uncommon for them to ask someone to provide a bit of a sermon on the reading of the day. And so Jesus was called forward, and people were probably whispering, "Who is this stranger who is in our midst today? Let's just see what he has to say." And he began preaching to them, and he opened up the Word of God in a way that made sense to them. The words came alive for them, and they thought, "What is this? He's teaching in a way that's unlike the way that our scribes do. These who are learned in the law. They know what they're talking about, but this Jesus is speaking these words with such authority." And as he's preaching, just imagine what it would be like if I'm standing here preaching and someone bursts in with an unclean spirit. We don't expect that on a Sunday, on a Sabbath day. They wouldn't have expected it on a Sabbath either. To have someone burst in with an unclean spirit. And this person does, and Jesus doesn't speak to the person, he speaks to the unclean spirit that has possessed this person. Because the spirit begins by addressing him, crying out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Clearly, this unclean spirit knows who he is and where he comes from. "Have you come to destroy us? And then I know who you are, the Holy One of God." So clearly, this unclean spirit knows who Jesus is. The people themselves may not know who he is. His disciples don't really understand who he is. But this unclean spirit knows. And what does Jesus do? Jesus stands up to the spirit, rebukes it, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the Holy Spirit within Jesus gives him both power and authority to command the spirit to be silent and to leave. And the spirit is silent and leaves, first convulsing the man and then leaving him. And the people are amazed. We hear that word over and over and over again in the Gospel of Mark. The people are amazed. They're astounded by what they see, by what they experience. And they ask, "What is this? And who is this? Undoubtedly is also in their minds, what is going on here? This is a new teaching, one with authority. Look, he commands the unclean spirits, and they obey. This is something they've not seen before. Sure, there have been other people who've been casting out unclean spirits, but not the way that Jesus has, not by confronting them and telling them to be gone. Now, somehow, when I was in seminary, we didn't have a class on exorcism. They didn't teach us what to do if someone comes to you and says, I have an unclean spirit that needs to be removed. We don't see a whole lot of exorcism or claims of demon possession these days. But we do have things that possess us and that turn us away from God. And we see that so much in our world today, the things that turn us away from God. And what are those things that you see in the world today that turn people away from God? Anybody, what turns you away from God?
Alcohol.
All right. So substance abuse can turn you away from God. What else can turn you away from God?
Money.
Immorality. Okay, immorality. What was that?
Peers.
What else can do it? Sometimes it's your own arrogance, your own belief that you are in control. Pride, power, yes. Especially power when you don't have authority behind it. Because a lot of people, a lot of things have power, don't they? But not authority. And they're different things. Bullies have power, but they don't have authority. And I was thinking about this as I was walking my dog this morning. Because he's strong. He's 25 pounds, but he's strong. He thinks he has the power. But I'm holding the other end of the leash, and I have the authority. I say, we are not chasing those deer. I say, we are not going after that other dog. I don't care that you want to be friends. So I'm the one with the authority. He thinks he has the power. He thinks he has the authority, but he doesn't. And Jesus had both power and authority. Where does his authority come from? These people don't know yet where his authority comes from. And over in this gospel, we will see people question Jesus' authority to do what he's doing. Where some of them will confront him and say, you are casting out demons because you are possessed by a demon. And he said, that makes no sense. His authority comes from above. He acts in divine authority, and his power is legitimate. And there's something about his teaching, there's something about his preaching that causes people to be drawn to him. And we see here, they see this miracle, and his fame starts to spread, and people start coming to him. And he teaches them, and he heals them. And he feeds them. And what I hadn't noticed until I read through the entire Gospel of Mark in just a matter of days, when I was able to really see it as a whole, that the one thing Jesus said he came to do was to preach the good news. To preach the good news. Everything else was secondary. What was important was to let the entire world know the good news about God, about salvation, about the need to repent, about how God will forgive, about how God pursues, about how God wants us to turn back, how God wants us to turn away from all these things that we named and all these other things that turn us away from God. The closest thing in church that we have to an exorcism rite is something that we saw last week. Remember what that was? Baptism. Exactly right, Ben. Exactly right. Because during that baptism ceremony, everyone is asked to renounce Satan
and to renounce the power of evil. And in the waters of baptism, we do just that. We put on Christ. And because of that, we put on power, we put on authority. But do we use that power to confront the evils that we see in the world that take people away from God? We saw in our reading from 1 Corinthians that some people were wondering whether they should eat meat that had been sacrificed to idols. Pretty much the meat that you were going to find there had first been offered up to an idol and then sold in the marketplace. Or you could go to great feasts and eat. And of course, the idols are not true gods. So what does it matter? And Paul said, well, what matters is if you eat it and it causes someone of lesser faith to stumble. He said, I won't eat meat at all if it will cause someone to stumble. That was his way of confronting one piece of evil that he saw in the world. The evil of idolatry. And how just doing an act that was permissible might not be the best thing that he could do. So how do we stand up to the forces of evil in the world? How do we confront them and tell them to be silent and command them to leave us? And that is the challenge that we have as Christians, to confront the evil in the world, to exercise the power and authority given to us in our baptism, to rebuke the evil one, to allow the Holy Spirit to take possession, to cause people to turn toward God. That is our challenge. That is our duty. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day, When Pain of the World Surrounds Us, number 704.